We're starting a brand new series here this morning called Welcome Home. And for this series, we're going to have the deacons come and read the scripture. So give it up for Deacon Chris Hanna.
Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with the good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. My family and I just got back from New Mexico a couple weeks ago, or last week, I guess. And if you notice that I'm walking a little different, it's because I rode a horse. And so I'm a little bit tougher and a little bit rougher. I've been watching some cowboy movies. But while we were there, we were walking down downtown Santa Fe, and we stopped to get some drinks. Some sodas that they had there, and we got home and looked at our credit card statement, and they charged us $820 for these drinks, and right? And so we've been working with the bank and trying to figure out how to get that money back because it was insane. I don't know. Somebody went and had a party on us, I guess, but we hear all the time, and maybe you've had your identity stolen before. And that's such a weird way to say it, though, right? Identity. What does that mean? Who are we? Am I just a credit card number? Am I a social security number? Am I a job title, a salary amount, an address, a phone number, a screen name? Who are you? Well, the Bible talks about us often in two different ways, the outer man and the inner man. And that's really, when you boil it down, who we are. We're made up of who we see about you. That's who you're made up. But we're also made up of the real us, the outward man and the inward man. And it talks about that in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, though our outer self is wasting away. How many of you feel that? I feel that when I wake up in the morning. Our outer self is wasting away. Even though that is true, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The Bible calls us many times the outward man, the flesh. Another way to say that is a little bit morbid, right? The meat, the physical, the tangible. But there's also the inward man, and the Bible calls that the soul or the spirit. We are a triune being because we're made in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. Now, in this series, we won't really try and define where the soul begins and the spirit stops, but we're also kind of three in one. But for the sake of clarity in this series, we'll simply refer to the outward man and the inward man, who we see and the real you. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." Another version says it this way, that thou may prosper even as your soul prospers. And this verse is telling us that we can be healthy and look pretty good on the outside, but we can be unwell on the inside. And you can be thriving in your professional life, but dying in your personal life. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" You can have all the physical signs of success in this life, but if you neglect your soul, your inward man, was it really worth it? Judah Smith wrote a great book on the subject called How Is Your Soul? And I recommend it. I'm going to quote it a lot here in this series. But when was the last time you really asked yourself the question, how am I really doing? The real me. How's it going? Way back in Genesis 2, we see God at work, and he gives us these jobs and gives us these responsibilities, and we see how we're made and how we're put together. And first, the Bible, when talking about humans, it says that God formed us from the dust of the ground, and he made us. All that you see here, he gave us form, eyes, elbows, and that little dangly thing in the back of your throat. He made us. He gave us form. But we're more than just a body. See, without God's breathing into us life, we are inanimate and lifeless. And that's what it tells us in verse 7. It says, God breathed into us the breath of life, and man became alive. See, both the words soul and spirit come from the words that mean to breathe or breath. We were just a lifeless form without God's breath inside of us. Our body is not what makes us a living creature. My soul is what makes me alive, and my soul is made of the breath of God. Judah Smith says we're all living on borrowed breath. Our soul can be healthy and prosper, or our soul can be sick and feeble. Since I left Pennsylvania, where I grew up 21 years ago, I've lived in 4 different states, and we've moved 8 times, too many times. And my prayer is that I never, ever have to move again. Creed Bratton says this. He says, no matter how you get there or where you end up, human beings have this miraculous gift to make that place home. And that's true. We, no matter how many places we've moved, we've always had that home feeling. And I could go back to each and every one of those places that I've lived and still get a whisper of home. Here's a picture of the home that I grew up in. This is a home I spent most of my childhood at. I'm sure the people that live there now have changed a lot. I know they cut down some of my favorite trees, and I'm still mad about it. But I could go there, and I could see where I rode my bike, and I jumped off that roof because that middle room was mine, and sneak out of the house and to do all kinds of crazy stuff. That's the grass that I had to cut. And that was home. This is the home that we moved from in Georgia that my kids grew up the first couple years of their life. And if I went back today, the pictures on the walls would be different. The paint color, I'm sure, would be different too. But this is the street that my son learned to ride his bike on, and the UPS truck almost hit him and ended his life. It's true, it happened. But this is the wall that we marked my daughter's height on. And this was home. Today, home is on Parkway Drive. That's where we hung the swings and put up the trampoline and sit around the fire pit. It's the smells and it's the sounds. It's the comfort of using your own bathroom. Amen? It's your chair. Everyone in my family knows which chair is mine, and it's fine when I'm gone, but when I hit the door, you better hit the floor. You better get out of there. Why? Because Dorothy was right. There's no place like home. And I firmly believe that God has given us the gift of feeling at home. But I also believe that there are so many people in this world that are restless and hopeless and anxious because their soul has no place to call home. Studies show that our quality of life is greatly improved when we have a physical place to call home. How much more does our soul, our inward person, our inward man, how much more does it need a place of rest? We've seen in God's word this morning that our soul's origin is God's breath. That's where we come from. It's where we find our home. And Chris read for us Psalms 103, and it's one of the most beautiful chapter of the Bible. And it starts out with this in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So soul comes from the word breath. The word bless means to affectionately and gratefully praise God. And this chapter begins and ends and says it all over. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the psalmist here is giving us a hint about life, about what you were made to do, your purpose. You were made to use that borrowed breath to affectionately and gratefully give that praise to God and give back that breath to Him. I've always thought that phrase was weird as reading through as a young person. Bless the Lord. What could I possibly do to bless God? He's got everything. What could I possibly give back to Him? But I bless God when I affectionately give back my breath and point my soul home. Verse 2, it goes on and says it again in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of our iniquity and heals all our disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy and satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Our home is in God. And that's a place of forgiveness and healing and redemption and love and mercy and satisfaction. Judah Smith says that when we use our soul, our borrowed breath, and turn it back into praise, there is something that resonates in the deepest core of who we are that says, I think I might be home. And many times, I've talked to visitors after their first time here at CBC, and they tell me, you know what, I've been to church before, but it wasn't like this. Something's different. I've literally had people tell me it feels like home. And when we do our job as a church family, that's how it should feel. There's something so special about our room full of people blessing the Lord with our soul, forming that breath that was given to us into praise and offering it back to our God. That's where we find our home. And there's so many people in this world that are nomadic souls, homeless souls that find no rest. Here at CBC, we do our best to work with the homeless population in Harrison County. But I can tell you without a doubt that it's far more tragic to have a physical home and a homeless soul than to be homeless physically, but your soul is at rest at home. And if you have any doubt, go feed the mission or come to CR on a Tuesday night and hear the worship. Yes, physically they might not have a place to hang their hat or have an address, but their soul is kicked back, resting in Jesus. And you can own a 5,000 square foot house and be the most restless and aimless soul in town. And you might think that you're winning, and you might think that you're succeeding, but your soul is longing for something that you're not giving it. It's longing for the purpose that you were made for, to give your breath back to God. The very last verse of the very last chapter in the book of Psalms says this, Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, it isn't just about the fact that God is worthy of your praise, it's that you were made to give your soul, to give your breath back to God in praise. Yes, God is good, but it's also your purpose. When was the last time you went to God, not asking anything, but simply just to use your borrowed breath to bless Him? God, I love you. God, you're so good to me. God, you're so powerful. You're all-knowing. You're the King of Kings. You're my Redeemer. You're the Lord Most High, the everlasting God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Peacemaker. God, you're holy and righteous. God, you're the one that provides for me, the only one who holds my future. God, I love you. That is where your soul finds home. You are home in Him. But home isn't really home when company's over, right? Mom breaks out the good china. She hands that, you know, puts that little bath towel in the bathroom that you're not allowed to use. Everything's way cleaner than it normally is. She doesn't really even want you to sit on the couch because there's that one throw blanket on the back that she constantly is straightening up. And you know what it is like. Mom's at home, but she's not at home. And we see that in Luke chapter 10 with Mary and Martha. Jesus comes into their home, and Martha, the older sister, is frantic and running around and anxious and frustrated. And we find Mary just sitting there in the middle of the living room listening to Jesus, not worried at all that there's dust on the mantle or crumbs under the table. Martha gets so passive-aggressive, and she yells across the house, "Jesus, Mary, tell her to help me." But Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 41, he says, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Mary wasn't putting on airs. Mary wasn't trying to hide the DVD of a movie that Jesus might find inappropriate. She wasn't fixing her makeup. No, Mary was sitting and listening at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says to her, she found it. She found the one thing in all of life that is necessary. Martha was restless and hopeless and anxious, and Martha had people over that she had to impress, but Mary was at rest. Mary was at home. So that's the question for you today. From Mark 8, 36 and 37. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Is your soul at rest today? Is your soul healthy? Is your soul at home? Because you could have the whole world, but your soul is out of whack. So who cares? Why would you forfeit? Why would you trade success in this world for an unhealthy soul? You were made to use that borrowed breath to affectionately and gratefully give praise back to the one that gave you breath. Because it matters. Having an unhealthy soul that is not being used for what it is meant to be used for affects you, and it changes you. We see that in 3 John verse 2 that we read when he says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." Is your soul at home today? After being a dad for almost 17 years now, I found there's some key phrases that kids like to say. "I'm hungry. I don't like that. Mom, he hit me. I don't want to." And then there's, "I want to go home." And maybe that's where your soul is right now, crying out for home. But until now, maybe you weren't even sure where that was. Your home is in Him. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want you to draw a circle around yourself today, and nothing outside that circle matters. I want you to ask yourself this question: how is my soul? Am I at rest? If not, why not? How's the real me? How am I really doing? The inner me. Am I okay? Because without daily, constant communion with our Creator, our soul will feel lost. And when we use our soul, our borrowed breath, and turn it back into praise, there's something that resonates into the deepest core of our being that says, "I think I might be home." We find our home in Him. So let's take a moment before we head into our time of communion, and let's turn our soul, our borrowed breath, back into praise. Let's come home. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.